have to get past the federal debt crisis that's hanging out probably in mid-March or thereabouts. If we can skate past that, though, we may actually be able to do long-term planning, that is, at least past the next month or two. And that's going to make a huge difference, I think, in the ability of federal employees to be able to go to work, do their jobs, without having to worry about whether or not the work's going to be able to be cut out from underneath them because of the budget problems we've been facing constantly for the last couple of years.
So escape sequestration, what makes you so sure?
Well, our hope is that with the deal that the Congress made back in December, that there will at least be a kind of a firm budget base underneath federal budget decisions. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be cuts. There are going to be some tough decisions that are going to be made. But the one thing that does seem at least more likely is that the enormous uncertainty that's been hanging out there will at least be eroding for a while. That's just going to make such a huge difference because for so many federal employees for so long, the last couple of years have been sequestration. Are we going to shut down? What's going to happen? What's the level of cut going to be? It's been such a huge level of uncertainty that's made it impossible to plan, and because of that, it's made it impossible to manage. And we can at least look forward, hopefully, to a year when there's going to be a little bit more stability, not necessarily easier decisions, but at least a more stable environment to make it possible to make those decisions.
And do you imagine that the result of this deal is that there's probably some work, extra work going on in the executive branch because we also know the 2015 spending level, which was agreed to. And so they're probably scurrying around a little bit to revise the president's request, which is not due out for another couple of months if they're lucky, but maybe to revise that so that it matches to some degree what that number is that Congress agreed to for the following year.
That's right. There's a huge amount of scrambling going on because we at least have a little bit more certainty about what those numbers are going to be looking like into fiscal 15. That means that everybody's going to have to, from top to bottom, go back to the budget marks and the budget reviews and make sure that those numbers fall into line with what it is that Congress has agreed on. But a lot of extra work in the short term, but compared to where things have been, I think it's work that everybody's glad they're going to have a chance to be able to do.
So that said, Don, I want to ask you about New Year's resolutions. First, for Congress, what do you think are resolutions that they should make, lawmakers should make, and that they actually could keep?
Those are two different things, but especially as regards the federal government, the two big things out there are, first, you know, we've discovered that it is possible to at least pass a budget. That's a good thing. And that's a resolution that's worth making, keeping, and making a resolution to keep in subsequent years, too, on top of it, because we just can't continue to run our government on such an incredible fiscal roller coaster. The second is that we have got to do a much better job, that is, we, Congress, in making sure that presidential appointments are confirmed and that we don't hold up and tie the administration of government into knots, because the vacancies that exist throughout the government are a huge and growing problem. And as we saw with what happened with the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, we just can't afford to have a situation without strong leadership in the key places within government. That's a huge, huge, huge problem, and Congress has enormous responsibility in making sure that it can begin to put things right.
Well, you've really pointed out two separate problems there. One is getting those appointees in place, and now that the Senate has pretty much ditched any notion of having rules, that should be speeding up, and we're already seeing some people speeding up their confirmations into those positions. But the idea of strong leadership in place, I mean, that's a really key issue, because you had a major change in policy and law and regulation, a gigantic one, one of the biggest ever maybe we've seen in 30, 40 years. And yet there was political leadership there in place and also the standing staff, and yet it didn't happen. So what do you think needs to be learned for a repeat of that kind of thing that we had with healthcare.gov not to happen again?
Well, the first thing is making sure that we know what it is we want to try to do. And the second thing is making sure we have people with the capacity in place to be able to do the job. The problem with the Affordable Care Act, among many, many, many other things, is that it became a problem that the administration wanted to try to push down and push out of sight as far as possible. And the level of top-level sustained leadership among people with the real capacity to understand the issues and push the solutions forward. That just unfortunately didn't happen. And now we've got turnover in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services with the CIO position, as well as the number two position, both vacant now. And we're going to have to find ways of making sure that we don't repeat that problem over and over again. But you go over to the Department of Homeland Security, where there has been an enormous amount of turnover, where, according to some reports, 40% of the top positions are either not filled or being filled by acting people in positions. Then you couple that with the Best Places to Work survey, with Homeland Security being ranked the lowest. It's pretty clear that unless you get strong and consistent leadership, that the problems for morale just multiply over and over and over again. And just it's a question of how many more times do we have to learn the same lesson. The administration for a long time has been blaming Congress and has been saying, well, we certainly just can't get people into place because Congress won't confirm them. Now, with the filibuster rules pushed aside, the onus is directly on the administration, and the White House is going to have to pay much more attention because it's run out of excuses for not having the top leaders in place in the right places to get the job done.
We're speaking with Don Kettle. He's dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. All right, Don, so that segues nicely into my next question. What do you think the resolutions for those federal executive branch executives and higher-ups should be?
Well, it has to start with the White House. It has to start with the West Wing. If we've learned anything with the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, it's yet again that management matters. You can't simply pass big ideas and hope that it's going to just take care of itself when it comes to execution. The problem is that over and over and over again, the White House has had a tendency to focus on the broad policy and the big political battles and not pay attention to the process of management. And if that doesn't happen, then bad things happen over and over and over again. We saw it, and we've seen it in subsequent administrations with Katrina, the Affordable Care Act. The administration has to pay attention to management if it wants to make sure that it has any prayer of getting its agenda for the remaining time in office moved forward in any way whatsoever.
Now, for career federal managers, what they're going to see in the next 2-3 years is new political appointees coming in the end of an administration as they start to glide out. And so they'll be there a couple of years, maybe 18 months by the time they get confirmed and in place, and may have an agenda that's short-term. How does the federal manager whose career deal with the second half of the second term type of appointee?
It feels like, Tom, that this basic problem, which happens all the time, is happening earlier, and it's going to happen in a more serious way than has been the case in the past. This is a big issue that's going to be even bigger, I suspect. And for federal managers working in this environment, the thing to remember is that, again, just as management matters for the White House and the West Wing, it matters inside federal agencies as well. And it provides, in many ways, an enormous opportunity for managers to move forward as the White House and the Congress get involved in all the battles back and forth. It means that managers in some ways have a lot more flexibility, a lot more elbow room to go out there and try to do what they can do to move the ball forward. There are lots of new innovations coming forward in government, from information technology to efforts to try to advance performance, new data and management efforts to try to make sure that we are much more effective at building bridges across the divides that so often separate agencies and make coordination difficult and sometimes impossible. Those are things that federal managers going to work every day can really make enormous amounts of progress on. And with people being distracted, it provides more opportunity for managers to figure out how it is that they can actually get their jobs done and to do the work that they need to do on behalf of the public. And so while it's difficult in so many ways, it's also an opportunity. And it's one that federal managers need both to recognize that they have right in front of them and that they must take advantage of, because if they don't, it could be that nobody else will. And that's something the public increasingly is not of a mind to try to tolerate.
So this is a point at which, not to be too cynical about it, but where career people can say, you know what, I'm going to be here after you, and so I'm going to make sure this is done right. Thank you very much.
Well, that's right, Tom. And we're in a situation where the career appointees, the career officials know that they're going to be here. They're going to know that they continue to have responsibility for administering the law, that the political appointees either are not going to be there, not going to be there long, or going to be there and be distracted. And it creates an opportunity for leadership at all levels of the federal workforce in ways that are tremendously important and really create tremendously important opportunities for these managers to move ahead. So it is, as we go into this process, something that, as a special New Year's resolution, that federal managers have to look forward to.
And Don, as someone who closely observes what's happening in Washington, but also trains the next generation of people who will run this town, what are you most looking forward to in terms of a federal development in 2014?
One of the things that I really worry most about, of all the things that we've discussed, and because what we've talked about so far are all manageable, but we are really seriously in a great difficulty of turning off a large generation of workers, new people coming out who really would like to make a big difference, who would like to make careers in the federal government, but are finding it harder and harder to negotiate the hiring process, are finding it more difficult and more discouraging to try to find jobs. And what the federal government has from top to bottom is an enormous responsibility to make sure that that does not happen. The retirement waves that we've been talking about are beginning to materialize. We have to make it possible to recruit and to retain a new generation of workers. We have to make sure that we pay attention to human capital in a way that we have not for a very long time. We have new programs like the Pathways Program, the Presidential Management Fellows Program, that deserve enormous attention from the very top levels of our government to make sure that we can manage the transition that's coming. Because what we don't want to do is to wake up 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now, wonder why we don't have the right people in place, and realize that when we had the opportunity to recruit them, we missed it. And this is something that, in the middle of all these huge battles that have been going on in Washington, we just haven't been paying much attention to. But it is one of the biggest crises that we face. It could be a kind of silent killer for the federal workforce out there. But we, on the other hand, can have enormous potential for solving this problem if we pay attention to it before it becomes a crisis. It could very well evolve.